Mike Dubin. Welcome, beloved, to another Bible study together from the truth of God's Word, as today we will be completing our study concerning the importance of the Word of God and how essential and necessary it is that we get into God's Word on a regular, daily basis. We've seen that God's Word is the most important piece of literature ever written, that God magnifies His Word above His name, that God's Word brings people to Jesus as Savior, that God's Word brings blessings on those who read, hear, and obey it, that reading and studying God's Word is an act of obedience, and reading and meditating on God's Word is profitable, will make one successful and wise. We've seen how that reading God's Word will feed you spiritually and help you to grow in the knowledge of the truth. We've also noted how that reading God's Word and obeying it will give you a weapon to use against Satan and sin. Reading God's Word and obeying it and memorizing it will keep you from sin, as we've clearly seen the importance of memorizing the Scripture and hiding it in our heart so that it's there available for the Holy Spirit of God to bring to mind when we're confronted with the enemy. We've read about and considered how that God's Word is powerful. Oh, and it certainly is. And we've been studying how that reading God's Word will set you free. Free, beloved, from the control, the dominion, the power of sin in our life. That's what we've been looking at here in Romans chapter 6. And last time we just completed with verse 21, "What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death, walking after the flesh, and yielding to the appetites and desires of indwelling sin." But we read verse 22, "But now, being made free from sin, and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life." Oh yes, beloved, we've been made free from sin. In our spirit, remember, we've been justified, we've been declared righteous, we've been declared holy, and that's who we are, that's our identity, that's who we are in Christ Jesus. We are pure and clean and holy and righteous. We have God's Holy Spirit indwelling our spirit, but in our flesh, beloved, is indwelling sin. As we saw in Romans 7, indwelling sin is in our flesh, and the law of sin is at work within our flesh, trying to bring us under its control and under its dominion, and therefore our soul becomes the battlefield between indwelling sin and the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, and the struggle that every one of us as believers encounter in our Christian life. But how wonderful to awaken to the fact that we do not have to yield to sin. We do not have to give way to sin. We do not have to allow sin to rule and reign in our life. In the past, we were under the control and dominion of sin. Notice again verse 17a. "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin." We were, beloved. And verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death." And thus, we were spiritually dead, as we saw in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 5a. We were dead in trespasses and in sin, born dead. And we're living among the walking dead, for all around us are many who are spiritually dead, separated from God, lost and in spiritual darkness, on their road to a Christless eternity. And we see that the cloud of darkness is becoming greater over the United States of America because we're ruling God out of our education. We've taken God out of our school system. We won't allow the Ten Commandments to be seen so that young people know right from wrong. And thus stores are having to put up signs that shoplifting is a crime, that stealing is a crime. Oh, beloved, we've seen our nation turn from the time when it had moral values to a time of wickedness and sin and impurity and violence because we've ruled God out of our society and we don't want to have anything to do with God. And thus the judgment of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Romans chapter 1 tells us God's judgment is upon the United States of America and upon every nation that has rejected God, upon every nation that has turned away from God, upon every nation that will have nothing to do with the truth of Almighty God. And so we see, beloved, we who have accepted Jesus as our Savior have been delivered from death, and we've received the gift of salvation and eternal life. We will never experience that second death that Revelation 20:14 and 15 speaks of, and that Revelation 21:8 speaks of. We who have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ have been delivered from death into life, and we shall never die. And what a glorious fact that is, because we have eternal life. And yes, this body with indwelling sin is going to die, because the wages of sin is death, verse 23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And when we accepted Christ as Savior, we were delivered from death and given life eternal. We were made pure and clean and justified within our spirit. The Holy Spirit of God moved into our spirit, John 3:6, and declared us justified, pure, clean, and holy. And so, beloved, that's our identity. That's who we are now. We are righteous and holy in the sight of God. But yes, these bodies we live in are contaminated by sin, and the law of sin is at work within these bodies. Romans chapter 6 points out that we can have victory over indwelling sin, though. Notice again, verse 2. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Beloved, don't allow sin to rule and reign in your life anymore. Notice verse 4 through 6. Therefore we are buried with Christ by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Through the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, we can walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, you see, water baptism is a picture of what has already occurred in our spirit, as we saw previously in 1 Corinthians 12:13, when we were immersed into the body of Christ by accepting Jesus as our Savior and the Spirit of God moving into our spirit. And so, planted together in the likeness of his death, that's an act of identification with Christ. We shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing that our old man is crucified with him, with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Hallelujah, beloved. No longer do we have to live under the control and dominion of sin. Then again, verse 11, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Christ, verse 9, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Christ, when he died, we died. When he was buried, we were buried. When he arose, we arose to walk in newness of life. And we now are new creation in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, old things have passed away, all things have become new. Reckon yourself to be dead to sin and alive to the Lord Jesus. Allow your mind to be transformed by the truth of God's Word. And let the truth of God penetrate your heart and mind. Let not sin, verse 12, therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Do not yield to it. Do not surrender to it. Greater is he that is in you, we're told in 1 John, which is the Holy Spirit. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And then again, beloved, notice verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you, the truth of our salvation, being then made free from sin. Ye became the servants of righteousness. Oh, beloved, what a wonderful fact that we've been delivered from the bondage of sin and become servants of the living Christ. And in the future, beloved, we will be delivered from the very presence of sin. Turn the page with me to Romans chapter 8 and notice verse 16. The Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, that is, the redemption of our body. The best is yet to come. Hallelujah. So walk in victory to the glory of the Lord Jesus. Till next time, goodbye.